time, please. Okay, so then the canto continues. That the details of the engineering of the universe by Brahma continues. And then this nice statement appears. The lotus flower, which is coming from who? Where does Lord Brahma come from? Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So that lotus flower comes from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, is the reservoir of all the conditioned souls before they enter a particular universe. That's where you appear first. After Mahavishnu, you enter a particular universe and you're in that lotus stem of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and then from there you take your birth wherever you are supposed to be. Next, final section of the third canto, Kapila Lila. So Kapila is another incarnation of Krishna. He is a Lila avatar. As we heard last night, how many different kinds of avatars are there? 6 kinds of avatars. So one of them, Lila, performing pastimes. So this section is very nice, where we have the nice story of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. It's a very romantic story. Huh? Kardama Muni. He was that, we heard about 10 direct sons of Lord Brahma plus one. So he's the plus one. So he's up there with Narada and other great sages. So Kardama Muni, he's doing penances and austerities on the banks of a river, a lake actually, it's a lake. You know the name? Yes, Bindu Sarovara. Very good. Bindu Sarovara. And Lord Vishnu appears standing on the shoulders of Garuda. And it says that the Lord was so pleased with Kardama, that a tear came from his eye and entered that lake, which is why it's called Bindu Sarovara. So Vishnu said to Kardama, I know what is in your heart. How does he know? Because he's in the heart. Yes. Because Vishnu, Narayan, Shiradaksh, they're all the same. There's not a different. It's not that your super soul is different from your super soul and they're fighting. No, it's all the same. So, Vishnu says to Kardama, I know what's in your heart. You have been performing these penances and austerities for a long time, but you want a nice wife. And so I am going to arrange that you get the best wife. Because Kardama said, yes, I want a wife, but she has to be somebody compatible. Boys, my sons, keep that in mind. Before you get married, don't go by the sugar coating. Find somebody who is compatible with your personality. You understand? Because the sugar coating goes away very quickly. Am I right, ladies? Huh? You have to find somebody who is compatible. As you've heard me say many times, there are 2 kinds of wives. Rukmini wives, Satyabhama wives. The Rukmini wives, very submissive, gentle, sweet, hard to find. And then there's the other kind, Satyabhama, feisty, on your case all the time, in your face all the time. So, choose wisely. Because once you go down that path, you can't undo. There's no, like, you know, on a computer, there's an undo, right? Control X, whatever it is, you can undo. Not that. So, choose nicely. Okay? You like that one, huh? I like it too. Hare Krishna. What? If he wants, and I've told this to girls also, pray to Krishna. You all know RuPaul, right? So RuPaul was also getting up there, and she had completely, I remember I came to the house, she said, actually, I've given up. I'm not going to get married. And I said, no, you pray to Krishna. But you have to pray like nothing, you have to really pray constantly. She followed my instruction, look what Krishna sent her. She got a very good husband. And now she has her first baby. And she had given up. But the power of prayer, we heard yesterday, akamo sarvakamava mokshakamo udara di tivraina. Tivraina means very, very forceful. That's how you do devotional service. Like you've heard me say, this is not japa. No. Japa is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama. Just like kirtan. You don't do kirtan. Hare Krishna. No, kirtan. Hare Krishna. So, tibrena, very forcefully, you do your devotional service. So, make up your mind and pray very forcefully. Yes, don't give up. My wife also, she prayed 2 years to get me. I had no chance. She prayed every day for 2 years to Lord Gornitai. 2 years, nonstop. I'm not revealing. Let's get back to Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Okay. So, Lord Narayan said to Kapil, very soon, Swayambhuva Manu will come with his beautiful daughter, Devahuti. And it was described that Devahuti was so beautiful that sometimes demigods flying in the airplanes would fall out. That's how beautiful she was. So very soon, Swayambhuva Manu came with his daughter, and his wife came on the chariot and offered her to Kardama Muni. And Kardama Muni said, yes, I accept this daughter, but there are some conditions. First, she has to follow my lifestyle. I'm still doing penances or austerities, so she has to live like me. Even though she's a princess, she has to live like a hermit, like me, living very simply. And so Devahuti agreed. She gave up all her, just like Sita. When Sita went to the forest, she lived simple. She didn't come with all her jewelry and all, you know. No, she lived like Ram did, simple, forest life. So Devahuti also lived like a hermit. So she followed her husband. Then after some time, Kardama Muni said, now we will enjoy. He said, you have followed me, you have neglected yourself, now I will show you the results. Remember yesterday, what's the potential power? Penance, right? That was what we learned. That's what Lord Narayan told Brahma. The potential power is penance. So Kardama Muni, just with his mind, created an aerial mansion. Then it could fly. It was like a city that could travel throughout the universe, going here, there, and everywhere. And this flying city had all kinds of wonderful things in it. It's explained that the bed was soft and it had nice sheets, white like the foam of milk. And so then, Gardama Muni said to Devahuti, you have neglected your body, you have become soiled and dirty, your hair. You enter this lake. And when she entered the lake, there was a little city. And these goddesses and maidens took Devahuti, and they made her look like once again a princess. Then she came out of the water, and then she and Kardama Muni, they lived on that aerial mansion, and they enjoyed heavenly life for so many years. They traveled all over the universe, and they enjoyed nicely. Then Kardama Muni said, now you will give children, you will have children. So Kardama Muni is a mystic yogi. And so he expanded himself into 9 Kardamas. And 9 Kardama Munis engaged with Devahuti. And she gave birth to 9 daughters, all grown up. Imagine. She gave birth and the daughter immediately grown up. Then Brahma came, and each of the 9 daughters was married to a very nice, saintly person. Then, finally, the son was born. And that son was Kapil, the personality of Godhead. He's in the category of Vishnu, Kapila Muni. So, now that Devahuti has given birth to a son, Kardama Muni says, remember, when we first got together, I mentioned that you have to follow me. And I also mentioned that at a certain point, I would again become renunciant as I was before. So Devahuti was thinking, wait, you can't leave yet. You have enjoyed with me for so long, and you have given me nice children, and we have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as our son. But there's one thing you have not given me. Fearlessness. You have not given me that. So Kardama Muni said, you will learn all these things from your son, Kapildev. Now, Kardama Muni, you would think, he has God as his son. Why would he want to take sannyas? And the reason he wanted to take sannyas was because that was the Vedic program. He wanted to follow the strict Vedic laws, even though he had God as his son. But to him, to follow the proper dharma, the duty, that was a higher principle. So he left, took sannyas, and Kapila stayed behind with his mother. And the rest of the third canto is the conversation between Devahuti and Kardama Muni. So it starts with chapter 25 and ends with chapter 30. Let's look at the topics that Devahuti and Kapil Dev discuss. So first she approaches Kapil and says, you please instruct me. I am lost in this household of life. You please instruct me. So what does Kapildev say? Bhakti begins with sadhu sangha. That is the secret of our success all these years. We are all devotees, yes? So because we're all devotees, we are all making spiritual advancement, each and every one of us. Because in these programs, there's no nonsense. We don't play games, right? When we do Namahat programs, it's serious business. Am I right or wrong? We're no nonsense. We come, we don't discuss so many, we just stick to Krishna, Krishna consciousness, kirtan, and of course, prasad. Yes. And that is the success formula. When I started way back in 1994, the original Namahat group, that is what I stipulated right from the start. I said, We're not going to introduce any temple politics. These programs that I'll do with you is simply going to be hearing and chanting. Nothing else. And fortunately, we have survived. And it's been carried out all these years. 94, so what year is this? 2018? 2004? 14? Yes. More than 20 years. Success formula. And as the song goes, it's getting better all the time. Am I right or wrong? You know that song? Huh? Yes. It's a famous song by some acharyas. Some lesser acharyas. Musical acharyas. Okay. So, bhakti begins with sadhu sangha. Okay, then, next thing he describes, the pure devotee. Then he describes the basic foundation of material bondage. Very interesting subject. Then, the sequential fundamental elements of matter. Because Kapildev's philosophy is called Sankhya. Sankhya means to analyze, to count. So, Kapildev's Sankhya philosophy is Krishna consciousness, and it's an analytical study of the material world. Next section, how to become self-realized. That in itself would be a nice class. I realize today, each one of these sections could be a class in itself. That's how much information is here in this Bhagavatam. Next one, the path of liberation. Right, the path of liberation. Then, Kapila's preliminary yoga instructions. Not like the yoga they teach nowadays. No, this is real yoga. Not hot yoga or cold yoga. And I heard, beer yoga. You saw that? Gun yoga. They meditate on the gun? Only in America, right. I didn't see the gun yoga, but I did see the beer yoga. Only in America, exactly. All right, then Kapila's Yoga Sutras. Then, different kinds of devotees. In that section, Kapildev says there's 81 different kinds of devotees. How do you get 81? Because he already explained the pure devotee. So, those who are not pure, they fall into 81. How many modes of nature? 3. Times 3. 9 times 9. So, you get all these combinations of the 3 modes of nature determines a devotee is like this, a devotee is like... And that section talks about a devotee in the mode of ignorance who is always angry. Then you have a devotee in the mode of passion, who is always looking for name and fame. Then you have the devotee in the mode of goodness, who is doing devotional service to become self-realized, to become free from the material modes. But then again, there can be a mixture. At any time, we may be a devotee in the mode of goodness, but we can get influenced by ignorance or passion. It happens. Then Kapila Dev talks about the time factor. Because in this material world, everything is under that clock. All your sporting events, all done by a clock. So this material world is like one big soccer match. And the clock is ticking. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Are you ready? What's the final exam? Death. Can you remember Krishna at the time of death? Then the next section, the life cycle of the conditioned soul on earth. And then one of my favorite ones, life in the womb. This section explains from the moment of conception, it goes 1 month, it's like this, 2 months, like this, 3 months. It's amazing. This is over 5,000 years ago. And it's confirmed by modern science. The description is exactly on point. At 7th month, the baby becomes conscious. And then what does... Oh, life in the womb, trapped like a bird in a cage. Because the baby's head is bent and the back is arched, right? And in the mother's womb, all kinds of insects and all kinds of things are biting the baby. And if the mother smokes, the baby gets affected. If the mother does drugs, and they have epidemic. Babies come out drug addicts from birth because of the sinful mother. Very, very serious. That's why the pregnant woman has to be very careful not to eat hot, spicy chili. Because if she eats hot, spicy food, it burns the baby in the womb. And the mother, whatever she's hearing, just like we'll see. Yes, you got, yeah, your house, Canto 7. How did Prahlad learn everything? In the womb of his mother. So if the mother is watching Fox News all day long, what's going to happen to the baby? You have to be very, very careful what the baby comes in contact with. Okay, so at the 7th month, prayers of the jiva in the womb. If the child is a good child, the baby becomes conscious and understands, oh my God, I've taken birth again? Ah, what a rascal I am. I should not have taken another birth. And here I am in this woman's womb. So the good soul prays to Krishna, okay, I'm fallen into this womb again. Dear Lord, please help me. Please save me. I promise you that this life, I will become your devotee. I will surrender. But what happens when the baby comes out of the womb? The birth experience is so intense, the child loses consciousness and forgets the promise. And then depending on the association the child gets, it turns out to be whatever it is. Fortunately, your children took birth from you and they have nice situation. And Garmalkars, look at your three boys. Are you proud of how they turned out? Are you happy with the way they turned out? Yes. Meena? You happy? You better be happy. Come on. We're very proud of all of our Namaha children. Your two daughters have turned out very nicely. Yes? Yes. What is all this false humility? Well, I don't. Okay, how about you? You happy how your daughter... She's turning out to be nice, right? Yes. How about you? Yes? So far. Well, you can't give up. You have to stay with the process. You can't give up. Okay. So then, Kapila Dev goes on to describe what happens throughout a normal karmi life. And then, Kapila Dev, what is this next section? Just try to understand the mighty strength of my Maya in the shape of woman. Yes. That chapter is especially for brahmacharis. Brahmacharis have to read that chapter very, very carefully. Try to understand the mighty strength of my Maya. Yes. Krishna's Maya. What does Bhagavad Gita say? Mam eva prapanchi, what is that? Let's see. Gunamayi, mamamaya, duratyaya. That's the word. Duratyaya. Very powerful, unconquerable, insurmountable. Maya. She's everywhere. right there on your cell phone is Maya. You gave a nice class the other day, right? Put down the Maya. Take prasad together. Right? Yes. Very powerful presentation. So, we have to understand the power of Maya. Not that, Maya, no. So you have to be very respectful. She's all powerful. Then, Lord Kapila Dev gives a purport to the chapter and explains how, depending on the modes of nature, you follow a different path of life. And then Kapila Dev finishes his chapter by saying, if you follow my instructions, if you do devotional service, you will what? Go back home, back to Godhead. Kapila Dev exactly says that. If you follow his instructions, meaning devotional service, same thing Krishna says, you will go back home, back to Godhead. So after Kapila Dev finishes his instructions, Devahuti offers some nice prayers to Kapila. Two of them are very famous. Has to do with chanting. Like Devahuti says, anyone who's chanting now, they've already done all the other Vedic things, like sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerities. They've done it. How do you know they've done it? Because they're chanting. Because they're chanting, that proves that they've done everything else. And then Devahuti says, doesn't matter what kind of birth they have. Even if they're born as the son or daughter of a dog eater, if they can take to chanting, they're more than a Brahmin. That's how powerful is this chanting. And that's how Lord Chaitanya taught, and that's how Prabhupada preached. The chanting makes you purified. Everybody chant. And then the end of the canto is how Devahuti goes back to Godhead. Okay, we stop here. Everybody chant.